You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, who up to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Football Friday. Let's do this thing. Steve Merrill's going to step up and in a couple of moments, but we're going to hit a couple of more things than just the gridiron with Mr. Merrill. A little baseball talk with Steve. Full slate of college football on tap, but tonight we break it down. Pat Mayo joins me in studio. His super lock of the week, now sitting at even 500, 3-3 record. We'll see who Pat Mayo likes for his super lock of the week, and we'll talk some NFL football with Pat Mayo. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, always a blast when the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joins us. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa, little hot roster talk with the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Ton of stuff going on in the sports world. We've got a millionaire maker lineup for you. We got a ton of picks for you tonight. So let's get right down to business. Last week, we did a National Football League bold predictions of the week video. And man, we missed Cleo'd this thing. All right, we nailed it. We were nailing money lines. We were hitting point spreads and everything else in between. Now, this week, it's a little bit trickier, actually. You know, a lot of the point spreads are actually pretty evenly matched, so we can't really go out of the box on too many games, but we got a few. We got a few NFL bold predictions for you, but we figured we'd expand the base a little bit since there's so much going on in the sports world, and it really is just off the hook. Best. I said the best, Jerry. The best. It's gold. This is the best time of the year to be a sports fan and a gambler. So let's start off in the National Football League. Bold prediction number one. Last week, I told you the Atlanta Falcons were going to go into Seattle and beat the Seattle Seahawks. Everybody thought it was a bad spot for the Falcons. They should have beaten the Seahawks. They had a late lead. They coughed it up, and then they got screwed over as Richard Sherman was hanging on to Julio Jones. They let it go. Hey, it is what it is. If ends and butts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? The world be a better place. It isn't. Atlanta didn't win the game, but I told you they were going to cover the point spread. And if you were paying attention, I told you in the last 19 Atlanta Falcon games, the underdog has covered 16 of them. That's right. Well, after last week, it's now 17 out of the last 20. So not only am I taking the San Diego Chargers plus the points, my bold prediction is the San Diego Chargers win this game outright. And really, if you look at the two football teams and you look at their stats, you know, there's really not that much of a difference between the two of them. One of them has found painful ways to lose. The other one has won football games. Everything even out in the end. And, you know, it is a bold enough prediction whether 6.5-point underdogs. I think this game should be 3. But the perception is all about your records. Like Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. That's true in the real world, not in the betting world. The San Diego Chargers want to track me. They improve to 3-4. Bold prediction number 2 in the NFL this weekend. The NFL is going to find a new way to upset you and piss you off and make you wonder, what the hell are they thinking? As the National Football League fantasy site, which I participate in actually, has come up with a new idea. A new idea to make your Sunday fantasy football experience a little bit more enjoyable, I guess. Or that's not really what it's about. They're actually, now, you can pay 99 cents per player. And if you have a player on the bench that outperformed one of your starters, if you paid the 99 cents before the game, you can replace the starter with someone on the bench. is it April right now? I thought it was October. It's getting cold out. Is it April Fool's right now? Are you freaking kidding me? I guess it will be like the real world, though, right? Whoever has the most money wins. as if it's not frustrating enough to lose a season-long league matchup, all right? Imagine, like, winning your matchup and then hitting refresh and finding out the jackass you're playing against spent, you know, the $3.98 so he can replace the bench. What's the freaking point then? Why don't they just have a website? Send us your money. Send us your money.com. Actually, that's not bad. Send me your money. Send Morenci your money.com. But I don't even know, everything I want to say right now, just they're expletives and swear words and stuff. Listen, fantasy sports is a phenomenon, and it's only going to continue to grow and get cooler. But right now, we're like the greed portion. I'm not going to name a place, but an unnamed fantasy site took my money, but then said I was geo-blocked after they took my money. That's good. I've dealt with mobster bookies with more ethics than some of these fantasy dudes, but that's besides the point. And when we're talking about ethics, the National Football League doesn't have a lot of them. Now listen, charging people 99 cents, like this is the stupidest idea ever. Not only is it just dumb from a competitive standpoint, it's just greedy and stupid. It's the stupidest idea since having Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump go to dinner together last night. Like, is it April Fool's? They figured if they put like a Catholic cardinal in between them, you know, things would have remained tame. And it was a somewhat like Catholic roast. And as much as I loathe Hillary Clinton, I'm going to give her credit. As her joke about Donald Trump was, when most people look at the Statue of Liberty, they see freedom and justice. When Donald Trump looks at the Statue of Liberty, he sees a 4 on 10. And once again, you're wrong, Hillary, all right? You're wrong, okay? Because there's no way in hell Donald Trump sees that Statue of Liberty as a 4 on 10. All right. Cindy Crawford's a 4 on 10 to Donald Trump. All right. Jessica Alba is like a 3 on 10 to Trump. What the hell do you think the Statue of Liberty is? All right. It's been a long time since she shaved. All right. But that's besides the point. Donald Trump responded and actually managed to get booed. He got booed by a bunch of Catholic priests. These guys haven't booed so hard since they received their last lawsuit. So they're freaking out. Donald Trump gets up there and says Hillary Clinton always talks about how it takes a village to raise a child. She should know she's stolen from enough villages in Haiti. He started getting booed. That was gold, Jerry. Absolutely gold. All right. When it's all said and done, the best football this weekend probably won't be in the National Football League. It's probably going to be that Texas A&M Alabama game. Texas A&M gives them a scare. We can't get bold enough to say they're going to win outright. We'll take the points. You don't want to know what else is bold? The NFL going to London. That game's going to be a track meet. They're going to go up and down the field. The Giants and the Rams are going to be a fantasy palooza, and I love the over of this football game. But you know what's really bold? Of Roger Goodell blocking legalized gambling in the United States on the National Football League because it would be immoral and unethical. You're playing games in London every week where you can bet on the weather. Hey, Roger, people are betting on the games they're going to this week. So somehow it's okay for people in Britain to bet on football, but not for people in Ohio. All right, bold prediction. Baseball. Clayton Kershaw wins game 6. They go to game 7. Game 7 smashes the Sunday night football ratings. And it pains me to say this because I'm a Dodger fan, but the reverse the curse continues, and the Chicago Cubs are going to the World Series to take on the Cleveland Indians. Is there enough going on? Just like that Putty and Loverboy commercial. Loving every minute of it. Let's roll. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live, and George said in Seinfeld, George is getting upset. I don't know, these camera dudes, they just like to poke the bear during the commercial break. Says camera 2, Drew, is insistent that Marcus Mariota sucks. He does not suck, all right? You suck, Drew. All right, like between the two of you, who sucks more, Marcus Mariota or you? I'm saying you, all right? It's everyone in the booth just said it's unanimous. If this is an election, you lose, Drew. You lose. So maybe I'll get you out unfiltered later, actually, if you're so confident about the Colts. I'm telling you right now, the Titans are going to beat the Colts. I would have said I was going to talk about the bold predictions, but it's not a bold prediction. The Titans are 3-point favorites. All right, let's bring in, we got Pat Mayo, which always fireworks when Mayo joins us. Cam Stewart in studio. And let's start off with Steve Merrill. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, a lot of sports stuff going on. I'll get your opinion on the Colts and the Titans game in a minute, but let's jump in right now with some baseball. Dodgers favorites in Game 6 on the road against the Cubs. Clayton Kershaw gets the call. A lot of people are unrealistic, man, when they're talking about Kershaw pitching last night and then going again in Game 7. It wasn't happening. Bip Roberts has done a great job. I agree with the decision. Maeda is shaky. You can't put him on the road, and you got to win the games anyways. You got Kershaw in game six. I think this sets up for a Kershaw win, and then an ultra-dramatic, man, Sunday night, game seven, to go to the World Series.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you give your chance. Assuming Kershaw pitches like an ace like he is, they should win the game, and you basically give yourself a one-game scenario against the best team in the league to make the World Series. So it's definitely the right move. He goes from pitching on 3 days rest in game five to now having 5 days of rest for tomorrow night's game six. So he's going to be fully rested. You know, we talked about him and David Price, how their postseason numbers are much weaker than the regular season numbers. But as we mentioned on Monday's show, starting to say that maybe that was just a fluke with Kershaw because he's delivered it so far this postseason. And keep in mind also, he had over a month off this year with that injury. That might be the big difference. You know, sometimes guys wear down in the postseason, not because they choke, just because they wear down from the extra innings. And Kershaw is a lot fresher this year, and it sure appeared that way the last couple outings.
And you know what, Steve, you and I talked about this, I believe, but if you're the Cubs right now, I believe there's more pressure for them now back at Wrigley. You know, they're back at Wrigley. Now the pressure's on, man. They've been in this spot. Last time they were up 3-2, Steve Bartman happened, right? Like, this stuff, it's real. It's the pressure on a Saturday night. You got Kershaw going in there, and it's one of these deals, man, where if the Dodgers can win that game, there's going to be an oh dear God feeling all across Chicago on Sunday. But the Cavaliers win the championship. The Indians are in the World Series. I'm a bitter, jaded man, but even I'm starting to buy into this reverse curse stuff, Steve.
Well, and for the sake of Major League Baseball, it might be a good thing that LA gets three of the seven World Series games, because if they play in Cleveland and Chicago for all seven games, which is the way it's looking right now, the World Series might not be over till spring training with the snow outs and the other weather issues they might start having. Can you imagine they were doing the old, what was it, a 9-game or 13-game series like they used to do 100 years ago when the Cubs last won the World Series? But they got a 76% chance of winning one of these last two games. That's what the adjusted series odds says. Yet the Dodgers are favored in game five. So the Dodgers have about a 55-57% chance of winning with Kershaw, which means the Cubs will have about a 60% chance in game seven if it gets there. They'll be a substantial home favorite for game seven.
Yeah, and Rich Hill would get the ball for the Dodgers in a game seven.
He's been fantastic so far since coming over from Tampa.
Exactly.
His numbers have been better than anybody the Cubs have since he's come over from Tampa 2 months ago.
If you're the Dodgers, you can't win you got to win a game without Kershaw, right? Like, that's just, and they did with Rich Hill. Like, right? That's the one. It's interesting. It's been a fun playoff run so far. And I think it's going to be a wild weekend, actually, man. I think the Dodgers, I'm a Dodger fan, but I got a feeling they win tomorrow and then they lose on Sunday. All right, so let's talk about tonight's football slate. South Florida and Temple. This Bulls team's only got one loss, Steve. That was that game against Florida State when FSU responded after the Louisville game. But should they be laying 6.5 on the East Coast like this?
Well, keep in mind, they were only a 4-point home dog in that game against FSU. A lot of people thought they were a very live dog. They thought Florida State would come in flat. It wasn't the case. FSU put up 55 points in that game. They haven't really been tested since. They've been more than a 2-touchdown favorite each of the last two wins against East Carolina and Connecticut. And they won by 16 and by 15 in those games. So this one probably lands near the number. Temple is coming off a straight-up road dog win against Central Florida. Both teams on short rest. Owls could maybe keep this one close. Wouldn't be a total shock.
Yeah, you know what? The Bulls are putting up 44 points a game. They're giving up 25. I doubt they're going to put up 44 in this situation. Temple are scoring 32, giving up 23. It's a classic case, Steve. We always talk about these matchups. Temple's not built to play from behind. So if Temple can run the ball efficiently and, you know, get up and, you know, play an NFL-style game, they're going to be in this thing. If they get into a track meet, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, when you look at adjusted passing numbers, I always look at opponents played. South Florida's played a weaker schedule overall. Temple actually has been a better passing team, a more efficient passing offense, even though you think of South Florida as that powerful O. They run for 270 yards per game, but Temple's actually got a pretty good run defense. They've held two of their last three opponents to less than 100 yards rushing, so that actually might be the key matchup in this game.
Both teams have been placed to the over. The Bulls are 5-2 to the over. The Owls are 4-3 to the over on the season. All right, It's San Jose and San Diego State. I got burnt last week laying the points with San Diego State. They're a good football team, but they're a little underwhelming this year, Steve. And they seem to be overvalued. But the problem is the Spartans are terrible. So I don't know. Can you make a case for either team in this game?
Well, I think it was just last week, the Friday night game, we were talking about Fresno, you know, at Fresno for San Diego State and how they were a huge 19-point favorite, and they ended up winning 17-3. You know, they hold their opponent to 3 points, and they still don't cover. How many games do you think that happens, Gabe, or a team that doesn't allow a touchdown and they fail to cover the point spread still? So I think that's a perfect example of what you're talking about. Meanwhile, San Jose State's only scored 14 and 17 in their last two games. San Diego State's held their last two opponents to 3 and 7 points total. So, yeah, I mean, if they don't cover, the game probably stays under. So you probably could play San Diego State in the under and at worst go 1-1.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's funny you say that, Steve. Last year they played, it was 30-7. San Diego State. The year before that, they won 38-7. One thing with these teams, though, Steve, like a team like San Diego State, you guys, you're winning. You know, they got upset that time. They have a nice win against Cal, but they got upset at South Bama. But, you know, you got one loss and, you know, you're thinking, all right, we win these games. But if you play more entertaining football, or at least you run it up a bit and try to score a bit, you get a better bowl invite, Steve. Like, these teams are just boring us all to death. I never got the mentality of that. You're always showcasing when you're a college team.
Well, here's the thing, too, Gabe. San Jose State is a terrible defensive team. Not because they give up 36 points per game, but they give up over 5.5 yards per carry. They give up almost 9 yards per pass this season. So if San Diego State can't break out offensively in this game, they're never going to break out.
Yeah, it's San Diego State or pass, but tread with caution. Like Steve says, San Jose State probably aren't going to score much. So they should win like 34-7 or something like they have in the past few years. All right, well, we finally, Steve, we're into the 90s, buddy. We've got
crazy.
This is the highest total of the year so far. I think, you know, last week we had the 85.5, 86 type deal. We haven't had a 90 yet. It was 89.5. Cal close. Hosts the Ducks tonight. We got a 90 on the board right now.
Yeah, I see mostly 89.5, but there are some 90s showing. And this line opened 87, so the sharp money actually pushed it higher, Gabe. But if you look at covers.com, I look at the consensus over there, 61% on the under. So the public isn't necessarily pushing this higher. And you and I talk about this all the time with the NBA with those 220 totals and higher. And in college football, there's a reason why these lines are so high. And more times than not, they do seem to go over. And I think that's the only way you can play this total. I will point out that the game you're talking about last week was West Virginia-Texas Tech at 86, and West Virginia held Texas Tech surprisingly to just 17 points, but Oregon's gone over 90 each of their last two games. They can put up points, but they cannot stop anybody this season.
I like Cal a lot here, actually. I think Cal are in a good spot here. The Ducks are in a free fall. Helfrich and Hulk are dead men walking.
Yep.
They're done. They're not going to be retained. The Ducks are giving up 41 points per game. The last 3 weeks, Steve, they've given up 161 points. And the thing about this is, the Ducks have like run the score up and beaten up on teams for the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's payback now. And we saw that last week with Washington hanging a 70 spot on them. And I think this theme continues. Cal are erratic, yes. But they got their best wide receiver back. Webb is going to be playing. And I think people are like, oh, look, they lost. And I'm reading previews. They lost to lowly Oregon State. You know, lowly Oregon State aren't bad right now, Steve. These guys are a scrappy team to play against. I watched that Utah game last week. They gave the Utes all they can handle, a bunch of like no-name kids and backups and stuff. It's a scrappy team, the Beavers. You know, Cal got caught there, but I see, you know, look, the Ducks are getting carved up by everyone. Jake Browning threw 6 touchdowns last week. Davis Webb's going to throw 5 or 6 at least.
Yeah, and Oregon is 0-5 against the spread with that push at Nebraska. They have not covered the spread all season long, and like you said, it's not a coincidence. This is a team that was a powerhouse for decades, and they have fallen fast. The odds makers just haven't caught up. And then on top of that, you got, like you said, the emotional angle from these other teams wanting to finally beat up on them. I was looking close at them against Washington the other week. Luckily, I stayed off that game. It was almost a 4-touchdown adjustment from 2 years earlier when they played in Oregon, and Washington still won the game by 49 points, even in somewhat of a flat spot, because teams just don't overlook Oregon. You know, normally a team is 0-5 against the spread, you start to get some value, but that's just not the case here.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, Steve, so we've only got a minute or we've got a couple of minutes. I've got about 2 minutes. Quickly on A&M and Bama. I don't think A&M are going to beat them, but it's a lot of points, isn't it?
Every show I've done today so far, Gabe, I do like about 6 different shows on Fridays, and there's a couple, and this is not one of them. This is the sharpest show I do, as you know, but some of the more square hosts around the nation, they all think this line is way too high, and everyone's leaning towards A&M. I look at coverage.com. The consensus has 63% of the public on A&M as an underdog. You know that's always a red flag for me. So I actually think Bama might be the play here, and I'll point out, Nick Saban is quietly becoming the Bill Snyder of the 2010s. You remember back in the 90s when you and I started, K-State always found a way to get that late cover, and it almost seems like Bama's starting to do that now as well.
They're just killing teams. And yeah, you go broke. I took a piece of Arkansas. That didn't work out. You're right. I took a piece of Tennessee. Didn't work out. The overs have been going over. All right, so speaking of Alabama, Talladega, the Hellmans. We've got some, I love the name. So the Mayonnaise 500 here, Steve. So we got the Mayonnaise, the Mayo 500, Talladega, Johnson and Harvick have already booked their spots. Keselowski 7 points back. He's the favorite. He's probably the best plate racer out there without Dale Jr. In the mix right now. 4-time winner here. He drives a Ford. Ford have won the last 2 races. How about this? 5 of the last 8. Hamlin. Denny Hamlin pretty much needs to be right up there and some things to happen. I'm thinking about taking a stab with him and Chase Elliott's in a winner-take-all type of deal.
Yeah, Elliott has to win, basically, and you could almost make an argument Keselowski probably has to be up front, maybe top 5, and need to win. He's actually done pretty well on these restrictor plates as well as Hamlin, so I like where you're going with that. Normally, guys that have a pretty good cushion going into the final race, you don't want to play to win because they just have to stay out of trouble, but you just can't do that at Talladega. As we talked about on Monday's show, being in the middle of the pack and running 10th or 15th to lock in that spot is actually unbelievably dangerous when that accident finally occurs. Problem is, if you're not running first or second, you really need to be running 40th just to be safe. You look at the standings, you know, right now Kenseth and Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards are 20-some points up on everyone else, so they're pretty much locked in unless they have a catastrophe. The problem is at Talladega, there's really no way to play it safe.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. Go check it out. You can see all those consensuses as well as Steve's write-ups, matchups, and game picks. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Pat Mayo, Superlock, coming up next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Cam Stewart. I know the viewers, a lot of Seinfeld fans. Cam, I feel like, you know, the one of the best episodes, the Merv Griffin episode when Kramer finds the set.
Yes.
And like, George shows up with Elaine and stuff, and Kramer's pissed. Whoa, how come I wasn't informed about this? Exactly. Like, I feel like Kramer right now, I thought Mayo was coming up next here, but.
No, I thought he did the last segment with his lock. Right?
I can't blame anybody. I get here about 30 seconds before the show starts, and, you know, it's going to happen.
There's been a lot of Loverboy in your jukebox, Morenci and Seinfeld references. Off the top, the kid's hot tonight.
Yeah, and I dropped loving every minute of it earlier. So, yeah, before we get to some Loverboy and some hot roster, I referenced in the intro, Cam, last night's dinner.
Whoa.
I don't know who thought it would be a good idea to have this dinner the night after a debate. Less than 24 hours later, you had Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump sitting as far as me and camera away from each other.
With a cardinal in between.
With a cardinal in between them. And Hillary's like, you know, she got her fake smile and she did. Trump just looks surly sitting there. So it's supposed to be lighthearted. Look at him, even here. He's like, God, I hate you. That's all he's thinking right there.
You wicked woman.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be a lighthearted, you know, you say a couple of words, you say a joke about your competitor. It's not a Comedy Central roast here, all right? Like, you're a light joke. It's the Catholic Diocese of New York, all right? So Hillary Clinton gets up there and says, we're in New York with the great Statue of Liberty, and when most people look at the Statue of Liberty, they see justice and freedom. Mm. When Donald Trump looks at the Statue of Liberty, he sees a 4-on-10. I don't like Hillary Clinton, but Although you're wrong. Yeah. There's no way he thinks that she thinks she's like a zero.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I gotta tell you, Morenci, for a guy that wears a lot of plaid and the same things all the time, this Hillary Clinton pantsuit routine with the Asian cuts all the time, like every
Chairman
single.
Mao.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Like every magenta, beige. You know what I mean? It's like a Bear paint commercial with this chick. She's got like 20 different pantsuits, all the same style.
So she goes with the Statue of Liberty joke that everyone laughs at. Yep. Donald Trump comes up and says, it's nice of you to be here considering WikiLeaks exposed you hate Catholics.
At the Catholic dinner.
Yeah. Look, it's just dead silence, and then you just get boo. And then it's right out of The Simpsons. He pulls like the Mr. Burns. Are they saying boo? Are they saying booing or saying boo?
Burns.
Trump even goes, I don't know, are you booing me or are you booing her? And the priests yell out, we're booing you. And then he follows up, although it was great when he said Hillary Clinton always talks about how it takes a village to raise a child. She should know she's stolen from enough Haitian villages. Like, yeah. Totally inappropriate at the place.
Well, I'm with Trump, though. The Clinton Foundation's kind of a joke. Anyway, there was a lot of...
speaking of which, actually...
some loose gowns last night,
that's
too.
A good segue. We should tell people about the Stuart and Morenci Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
In which we aim to help degenerate and compulsive gamblers and fantasy players that have had bad weeks. The website will be launched very soon. Hey, why not? If they can steal $700 million from the Haitians, we can too, right? So let's get down to some hot roster action here, Ken.
Yes.
The kid is hot tonight. Whoa. Melvin Gordon. Todd Gurley has not been hot.
No,
tonight.
Todd Gurley, cold.
Melvin Gordon versus Todd Gurley. Melvin Gordon at the Atlanta Falcons in a game. It's going to be a track meet. We got Todd Gurley going to London, breakfast in Wimbledon style.
Yep.
Who do you like, Ken?
I love Gordon. I know you got to lay one in the matchup, Morenci, but I think it's a fantastic spot. You talked about it. Todd Gurley, his yards per carry, absolutely brutal, under three. And as for Gordon, the one thing he's getting is touchdowns. Last year, none. Now he's got seven. So you look at the matchup. I also love the fact that Atlanta has been road warriors coming back home, dealing with real life situations. The Chargers are a sneaky little pooch, and I expect Melvin Gordon to get his. Sign me up with the Bolts and MG.
You know what? I agree with you, Cam. A lot of people like Gordon because Gordon's going to be a high scorer and going to do a lot of passing. He's going to break a couple of big ones. This game's going to be a track meet. I think San Diego's going to win the game, actually.
I like the points, yeah.
I think he's going to have an efficient day running. He might score two touchdowns in this game. And as far as Gurley is concerned, if you look right now, Gurley hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been worthy of the top five pick in league standings, etc. So people are frustrated. But, Cam, you look at the Rams, suddenly Case Keenum's throwing for 300 yards a week.
How's Kenny Britt doing?
Yeah.
And Case Keenum got a relationship.
I think it's going to be an air raid out there. I think there's going to be points put up on the board in that game. And Gurley not as used in the same fashion as Gordon is. I like the matchup. I like Gordon better.
Love it. I love Gordon.
All right, Mark Ingram goes to Kansas City. Giovanni Bernard. Cleveland. Cincinnati hosts Cleveland. Ingram's a minus 2.5 point favorite here.
Too many points.
You know, the boys, Mayo and Thorne, you guys have mocked Mark Ingram over the years and said he's terrible. He's not terrible, but he's not great.
Yeah, he's also, he's not a 2.5 point favorite.
But I don't like Bernard either.
Yeah, no, but yep.
Bernard should have success against the Browns.
I agree. Success against the Browns. The thing about hot roster, too, it's also not a PPR. If it's a PPR, Bernard is a lock in this situation. But still, he's going to get his touches. Morenci talked about it. Against the Browns, he is going to be fed early and often. As for Mark Ingram, this is a terrible matchup. Saints against Kansas City, I don't like it at all. You're giving me 2.5 points. It seems like the pooch is where to go. Bernard.
And how does this Kansas City game go? Most likely, Kansas City's beating them up.
And they're going to have to throw.
The Saints are playing from behind and throwing the football. All right, so we're in agreement on that one. Let's talk some quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins versus my boy, Tyrod Taylor. Although Kirk Cousins is my boy as well. I was high on the Redskins coming into the year, and everyone like picked on me. Ooh, look at this, they've lost. They suck, Morenci. You were wrong about the Redskins. Now they're not talking that they've won four in a row. Tough game against Detroit. There should be some points. That game should have some fantasy points put up on the board. We've got Tyrod Taylor.
Tougher matchup for him.
It's a weird one.
Think about Tyrod Taylor, Morenci, and let's give credit. He's on my fantasy team, too. He's been great. He was a top 10 quarterback last week. But Kirk Cousins, this is a recipe for success. He has got the Detroit Football Lions. And what are the Lions do? They love to make quarterbacks look good. Look at Case Keenum did. He carved these guys. It's a Swiss cheese D. We could see tons and tons of points in that game. I actually love this matchup. Kirk Cousins is -1.5. Tyrod Taylor. What about McCoy? We love Gillislee on 20 touches, 3 touchdowns, but the Buffalo running back situation. Lots of question marks on Friday. Sign me up with the sure thing. I think Washington can light it up. Hey, Detroit, Washington, who knows who wins the game? So I can tell you one thing, Marenzi. Kirk Cousins, he's my guy this week.
Much, much better matchup and situation. I'm going to agree with you once again.
Wow, that's good. Shocking, buddy.
All right, so we have to take 4, though, right?
Yeah, so we're going to disagree
on
one.
Roster.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of the Ingram-Bernard prop on either side of it, to be honest, all that much. But I do agree if I had to, I'd go Bernard. Let's talk Frank Gore. Mm. Frank Gore, so what? He was going to be like the first 100-yard rusher in like 60 games or something, but then he lost yardage.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he lost the game. That's the way things went for the Colts last week. Frank Gore versus Tennessee versus Terrence West, who's at the New York Jets. Gore, 506 yards from scrimmage this season. Sort of a rejuvenation for Gore.
But Morenci, West, since week 4, he's been the 4th best back in fantasy. He's been fantastic. All of a sudden, he's getting the looks. And I'll tell you one thing. Don't sleep on the Tennessee Titans D. These guys are giving up 7 or less fantasy points. So it's a tough, tough situation for Frankie. I actually love the Tennessee Titans in this football game. I think Gore gets neutralized. I know the Jets, you can throw against them, a little bit tougher against the run, but West is a point pooch. I love the situation. Give me West. Go West, young man.
Look how mean Gore looks in that picture.
I know.
Get that picture
back
up?
I like those guys. Mugshots.
Gore's actually a really nice guy.
I know he is.
Gore's a fun-loving, nice guy, but this picture.
Have you noticed? The nicer guys in the photos always look meaner, and the jerks are always smiling, right? In the mugshots.
Remember my MMA lineups? Remember that killer lineup?
Oh, yeah. Oh, your MMA lineups? Those guys were straight up. I was scared looking at the photos. Those guys are creepers.
Larry Fitzgerald, over under 9 fantasy points versus your Seattle Seal. Considering the league lets Richard Sherman hang on to receivers like Oprah onto a bone.
Sure. But as a Seahawk fan, I'm an impartial Seahawk fan. Like, some of the problem with Seattle Nation is these guys don't see things properly. I do. Larry Fitzgerald has torched Seattle. 10 plus fantasy points in both meetings last year. 180 yards and a touchdown. Don't worry about it. He will get over the number of 9. I'm a Seahawk fan, and I'll tell you, I see a lot of Carson to Larry. So, you know what? I think he gets about 11 or 12 over the number.
I got to tell you, I don't know if it's the Blazers making you smarter. So, I mean, I got to start wearing a Blazer.
You said that twice now.
Yeah, they say don't judge a book by its cover. But look, I got an idiot in a football jersey and a smart guy.
I got to be honest with you. I love that North Carolina jersey. Great color pattern.
Go Heels.
Yeah, go Heels.
Pat Mayo joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Pat Mayo into the studio. Let's talk some NFL football. We'll get to Pat Mayo Super Lock in a couple of moments, but we'll run through a couple of interesting National Football League games. Pat, it's a tricky card this week. Every week is a tricky card. Nothing's easy in a National Football League. It's not easy for the coaches and the players to win. It's not easy to win a DFS, and it's not easy to win a bet. But this week is a tricky week.
Yeah, the biggest one that sticks out to me right away is that Minnesota game. It was at 2.5 most of the week. It's now shifted to -3 for Minnesota. And when you look at whether it's advanced stats, whether you're watching the games, whether you look at the records, like, shouldn't Minnesota be like a 6-point favorite here? Like, aren't they significantly?
Well, they sort of are. If you consider there's just 3 points added for home field advantage.
But no matter where they play.
So they're basically saying, if the game was in
it would
Minnesota,
be -6.
Yeah, it would probably be -7 or something.
This game feels like a trap because it feels like Minnesota should destroy the Eagles, doesn't it?
Yeah, but if we recorded every time somebody said this game feels like a trap for the Vikings, we could run it for the entire hour. Here they are right now. They're impeccable against the number, and it feels like a trap coming off.
But it's not.
Week.
Yeah, it's just I'm taking the Vikings in this game, but I'm worried about it. That's why I didn't lock it in. Like, just objectively looking at it and just looking at this entire card, it's like, well, Minnesota -3. That feels like a lock. So
to put it in perspective, how hot the Vikings are right now. They're 19-2 against the spread in their last 21 games played. Coach Mike Zimmer is 21-4 against the spread versus non-NFC divisional foes. Zimmer is now 29-9 against the spread overall in the National Football League, with most of these losses coming in the first few months of his career with the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Bradford tossed for 990 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, second best quarterback rating in the National Football colleague. I will admit I did not see this coming from Bradford.
No, I think all of us who kind of stood up here and said, what a terrible trade for the Vikings giving up a first round
pick. You're wondering why? You got Sean Hill. What are you doing this for?
Yeah, the guys are about the same. And listen, Bradford's been excellent in the fact they haven't turned the ball over. Obviously, that's not going to sustain itself. He's not going to go 16 games without turning the ball over. But this team, you know, they don't run that many plays. They're not actually all that successful on offense, but the defense has been so good.
They can't run the ball at all.
No, they can't run. Even when they had Peterson, they couldn't run the ball. But the defense is setting them up in such a good position. They have the best field starting position of any team in football. I don't think that's going to change against the Vikings. So, I mean, they could just kick five field goals.
I like the Vikings here, Pat, but I feel your trepidation as well in this game. And looking at this defense, and they're just merciless. These guys, they terrorize you. And then you got Jim Schwartz on the other side. That's why I think this is pretty much the lowest total that we've seen. And weather's not even a factor in the total's 39.5 in this game.
Look how much Washington was able to pressure Wentz last week. Without Lane Johnson around, they couldn't figure out the offensive line. So maybe a week later, they've been able to adjust and adapt to that. But if you give me the same situation, now you have the Vikings D coming at Carson Wentz, he's going to make a bounty of just very poor decisions. He's not going to have time to throw the ball. And as we've seen, this offense is kind of stagnant.
All right, so here's a line like Arsenio Hall used to say, things that make you go, hmm?
Do I need to sit here and be like, whoo, 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 whoo,
yeah, and the dog pound, the dog pound over there? All right, this line, and I'm a Bills backer, but this line is very, very strange. And the Bills are 3-point road favorites, despite the fact that LeSean McCoy is out now. It seems like it doesn't matter. Oh, you guys lose Watkins, we're going to bet on you anyways. The betting market are in love with the Buffalo Bills because they've covered 4 weeks in a row right now.
And Rex Ryan historically kills Ryan Tannehill. The Bills under Rex Ryan have destroyed Miami basically every single time.
Tannehill's been terrible in the division against everybody in this division.
And Rex Ryan is actually really good at playing teams within
the
division.
He was bad against the Jets. Like, Tannehill was bad against the Jets with Rex. Now he's bad against the Bills with Rex.
This line, almost like the Vikings one, should probably be a little bit bigger even without McCoy. By DVOA.
What about Robert Woods? Is he going to play?
Probably not. Then Charles Clay, who's probably going to play.
Who do they have? They're down to Salas and Clay now? This is what it is? Gillisley?
The whole point is, if they can score 16 points, they probably cover the spread. I don't see Miami scoring here. The defense is just going to eat up.
Yeah, the Bills, number one ranked red zone defense in the National Football League. Teams only scored 33% of the time. The Bills have given up the least amount of touchdown passes this year in the NFL.
And the Dolphins have been sacked the second most times of anyone besides Andrew Luck this season. And the Bills have actually developed quite a pass rush.
They got more sacks, Pat, already this year than they did the entire year last year.
So the Bills defense that we all thought that we were getting last season with Mario Williams and, this is going to be a top five defense, and it was terrible, it's kind of reverted back to what it was 2 years ago. And if that's the case, the Bills, I mean, realistically, the AFC is not all that great. Right now, they're third by DVOA right now in terms of how they've played in the AFC. Like, they're way better than the Dolphins.
No, it's not by smoke and mirrors. The Bills are actually fundamentally moving the ball. Like, they are fundamentally moving the ball on the field. They're playing smash mouth football. There's nothing cute about it, but it's effective. Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins, 1-9 against the spread the last 10 division games.
Yeah.
Within the AFC, he's just thrown out there. All right, here's a game that we've been debating about, and the fact that I called our cameramen dumb and dumber, and Mikey and Drew yesterday, because they're both...
I mean, it could have been about anything.
you're like Donald Trump. I'm lighthearted. My jokes are lighthearted. You just go for the jugular.
Yeah, listen.
But I told these guys, I'm not going to wear a dunce cap or something like that, but we'll put up like a dumb and dumber graphic, and I'll say I'm the one that's dumb if the Colts beat the Titans on Sunday.
I'm with you.
And the fact that these two dudes both love the Colts
makes you feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I'm liking it even more. So, hey, we had Dalton Deldon yesterday. He said, Gabe, one of my best bets of the week. Love the Titans to beat the Colts. And Dalton's a smart man.
One of my best bets of the week, too. It started at -2. It's now up to -3.
They're going to beat them.
When you initially look at it and you see the spread, it's like, man, Andrew Luck's getting 3 points against Tennessee. Let me take Andrew Luck. And then you start really thinking about it. And when you look at the biggest thing I look for in this game is adjusted sack rate. And right now, Tennessee has 6 sacks in each of the past 2 games. No one gets sacked more than Andrew Luck. So he's going to be behind the 8-ball anyway. So whether you're talking about gambling, whether you're talking about playing DFS or just regular fantasy, the DeMarco Murray-Tennessee defense correlation is a real thing. They're going to sack sack him. They're going to cause turnovers. They're going to create short fields. All great news for DeMarco Murray. And the Colts can't stop anyone. Andrew Luck could put up 24 points in this game. I'm not saying that. He's going to be fine. It's just they can't stop anyone. And with Marcus Mariota beginning to run the way that he has, it's been highly effective. He's actually starting to slide not head first now, too, and saving himself some injury. And that creates a dynamic on the field for them, which just allows the defense just to be kind of up in arms at all times. They have no one to really spy for him, especially here. And with Kendall right back being to full health, I know it doesn't seem like a big thing, but Delanie Walker was getting all those passes. Teams were keying in on him. Now you have a complementary piece on the other side of the field that runs low A-dot routes, and they're very easy completions for Marcus Mariota, ones where you can just zip them in. So I really like the Titans, -3 in this game.
You know, Pat, the Colts have won 10 straight. They're 8-2 the last 10 against the Titans. Titans haven't won since the year Peyton Manning got hurt.
Well, you know what? Andrew Luck was like undefeated against the division, too.
That's the stat. Oh, you know, Andrew Luck's 10-1 against the spread off a loss. Yeah, now that stat's like 10-7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's adding up.
Well, put it this way. Andrew Luck, on dropbacks this season, he's been under pressure 41% of the time. Like, yeah. It's not really his fault.
No, you're right. It's not. No, you're right. He's not to blame, but we got to move on. But one thing, I was talking about the Oregon Ducks earlier, Pat, and the Ducks kicked the crap out of teams for the last 7 years.
And now everyone thinks they're great?
No. Now it's payback. Like, now they're down. They're terrible. Washington hung 70 on them last week. Teams are consistently just running up the score on the Ducks. It's like, hey, you guys killed us for the last 8 years. Payback's a bitch. This game's huge for the Titans. They're going to get it done. It's going to be a close game. I liked it better at 2.5. It wouldn't surprise me if they win by 3, but Mariota showcased. DeMarco Murray goes off. Titans win this game. Quickly on the Redskins Lions, then we get to the Super Bowl.
I like the Lions.
This one I'm torn with.
Everyone's sort of in on Kirk Cousins taking advantage of the Detroit defense.
From a fantasy standpoint, yeah, there should be points.
Yeah, there should be points. I agree with that. But the one thing to look at, there's an in-split, out-of-split with Kirk Cousins. So, A, he's not as good on the road as he is at home. That's just been throughout his career. Very good in Washington. But the biggest split that you can look at, when Jordan Reed is not playing, Kirk Cousins just isn't good at all. And Jordan Reed is not playing in this game. I think they can hang some points here. They're going to need to get Matt Jones going. But the thing that people underrate about Detroit is their offense is pretty good. They score a lot of points. And they beat these sort of like middle-class teams over and over.
I like where you're going with this.
The one that they didn't win was in Chicago. I mean, now they're indoors. They're at home. They're not getting any respect for a team that's been pretty good so far in 2016.
You know,
I like the Lions.
They weren't quite like the Vikings, but last year, in the last 8 games of the season,
they were all right.
The Lions won 7-1 against the spread. And then, boom, they came out first game. They cover. And it's sort of caught up to them. This is Matthew Stafford's 100th game in the National Football League. What better way to win at home?
You know what's funny? Remember when he couldn't stay healthy and everyone's like, oh, he's such a bust and whatever. Maybe he's never going to live up to being the number one pick, but the guy hasn't been hurt in ages.
Yeah, there he is. Well, now watch on Sunday. Yeah. Just cursing. All right, it's time for the Super Lock. Pat Mayo's now at 3-3. And we've got some music for the Super Lock right now. Let's kick it old school. Let's go. The Super Lock of the week.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road on the West Coast playing in one of the late games. This line opened at -2.5. Everyone thought that was a great bet for San Francisco. I didn't. I would have taken it 2.5. It's down to a pick'em. You can find it at -1, -1.5. You can probably even get a point on Tampa somewhere out there. It's kind of nuts. So -1 is what I saw this morning. -1 is what I'm going to take. On my sheet, it says pick'em. I love Tampa in this game. San Francisco sucks.
Yeah, I can't you know.
That's all the analysis I need here.
I know. I can't disagree with that analysis. The San Francisco suck. They've lost 5 straight games, and 4 of them have been by double digits.
Yeah, and now this is a pick'em?
But doesn't this just feel sort of...
No, it doesn't to me. I just feel
Tampa Bay
no
been
one
off
believes
since that win, right? They went into Carolina. They won. They've been off forever. I almost... One thing. I was high on Tampa coming into the year, and I think it could have been... I think it could really benefit them, this bye. Dirk Cutter's got some time to work with Winston. They can sort of tweak things.
Yeah, no Doug Martin, no Vincent Jackson. I don't really think that's all that big of a deal for them in this
game.
I
do think Mike Evans has a big game.
Cameron Brate has been an excellent red zone presence, and if they're going to continue to feed Jaquizz Rodgers like they did in that Monday night game, I know that he's not great, but neither is the San Francisco run defense. But San Francisco is missing their best offensive player. There's no Carlos Hyde.
I got to put a little piece of coal in your stock in here. The Bucs have lost 10 straight games to the NFC West.
Oh, well.
Does that bother you?
No. When was the last time they played this San Francisco team?
My gut instinct tells me San Francisco wins, but I'm not. Listen, I don't have it in me to argue. I can't argue this.
All week, the money has been on San Francisco. Like, this is not reverse line
movement. I know.
Everyone's just
betting.
The money
continues to come in.
On San Francisco. Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
People like Kaepernick. We got to get out of here.
I like Jameis.
All right. We got to get out of here. All right, let's get down to business and give you our millionaire maker lineup. Let's start off with Marcus Mariota as our quarterback. The kid really is hot tonight. Six touchdown passes last 2 weeks, 58 DK points. He's rushed for 124 yards. The Colts are ranked 25th versus the rush, 29th versus the pass, 30th overall, giving up 26 points per game. I like Marcus Mariota to have another big fantasy outburst against this soft Colts defense in a Titans win. Give me DeMarco Murray. Why? All of the above. All of the above. You know, Murray's put up 21 or more in five of six football games. 21 DraftKings points. Quietly been very, very consistent and effective and efficient. Colts are going to have a hard time containing this power attack that the Titans are going to throw at him. All right, let's move on to Mike Gillisley. All right. It was reported by Adam Schefter that LeSean McCoy was out. Now, suddenly, Rex Ryan is saying, well, I don't know, he might play. He's looking pretty good now suddenly. So I don't know, guys. I think Rex Ryan's probably just playing mind games, and McCoy probably is going to be out. But as of, like, when I put this lineup together, it was basically official that McCoy was out. So if McCoy's playing, then readjust a little bit. But Gillisley is going to be a steal at $3,000. This kid can run, and he's going to get touches. The Bills run the ball. Okay, let's go into a Mike Evans. He's a little bit expensive, but I think it's a great matchup for him. 19 DK points or more in all but one game. He's been targeted a whopping 55 times in the last 4 weeks. Jeremy Maclin. I was on Maclin last week, and I was on Alex Smith last week. It was a weird game, man, against the Raiders. The Chiefs dominated, but you know, they got the ball at in weird spots on the field. They didn't really have to do anything on offense, and they still won the game by double digits. They get the Saints this week. I like Alex Smith, actually, on DK as well, but you know, Maclin, I think Macklin's efficient here at $6,700. All right, Amari Cooper. I'm talking about getting targets, man. 25 targets in the last 2 weeks for Cooper. Nice matchup against Jacksonville. Hunter Hurst Henry. Old school WWF style. Three straight weeks, three straight touchdowns, 60-plus yards. Great matchup against a Falcon team to give up the fourth most points to tight ends in fantasy football. I had Spencer Ware here, but I bounced Ware for Mike Wallace. The Jets secondary is terrible. They're actually pretty good against the run. The Ravens like to throw deep. I'll take a stab in the dark with Mike Wallace at $5,800. Double digits in five or six games. And I got the Saints defense. Why? Because I only had $2,000 left, and I love my lineup, but I didn't want to mess with it. All right? Let's get to the plays of the day. We're going to go with Temple plus 6.5 against UCF tonight. You know, Temple. Do I love this game? No. But Temple, they seem to play on Fridays, and I like to give you picks for the games that are on TV every week. I'm going to have a small piece of Temple plus a 6.5. I'm going to have a small piece of the over in this football game as well. Let's get to my play of the night. I love Cal tonight. I'm going big on Cal. I'm going big on Cal. 1 week salary. Cal. Book it. Cal, get it done. The Ducks have been knocking the crap out of people in the Pac-12 for the last 7 years. Payback is a bitch, Oregon, and you're going to feel it tonight. Cal's going to rack it up, and it's going to go over 90 points. That's right. It's going over the number. And you think we forgot about you, Canada? We got some CFL action on the board. And the Ottawa Red Blacks could win a division tonight. There's no Zach Caleros for the Ticats. And my boy Brandon Banks got suspended for violating the drug policy. Give me the Red Blacks. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.